Did you guys know Tebu packs his foreskin with spices before intercourse, buds?
You fucking took mine, you son of a bitch. You took my opening, bud. Bud, what
The
the
second time in
fuck?
a row. That's the second
God
time in a row.
damn, bud.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, bud.
Welcome back, friends, to the Joe Blow Horror Show, where we review, rate, discuss, and break down horror movies, not horror films. I am your host, Boss Tuna, and with me, as always, is everybody's square hammer, knee tickling, herbal enchanted hobbit himself, right out of the
Foreskin
bayou.
spice packing.
Foreskin spice packing. Say that four times fast.
Man,
Travis Maxwell Boone. What's up, T-Boo?
I really wrote it down. My thing was I packed my foreskin with spices before intercourse, bud, and you got me. You got me again. Welcome back, everyone, to the Joe Blow Horror Show. My voice is a little shot, I want to say, on like right out the gate. So excuse me if I'm sounding like I'm hitting puberty all night. I am. No, I've got that post New Orleans voice going on, that post Cat's Meow voice happening tonight. But I'm so thrilled to be here as always and to be talking about another movie with my boy Boss Tuna.
Yes, stay tuned, listeners. Buckle up for the next episode that we'll be dropping. But I just realized there's probably a handful of listeners that haven't or don't or won't see these films, and they probably have no idea what our Yeah Buds are. But that was a quote. We always kind of joke around and do a quote from the movie. So if you're like, that was really random, which probably would surprise anybody coming out of my mouth, it's a quote from the movie.
Yeah.
And they literally say Tebow packs his foreskin. So
they name drop me in the fucking Brandon Cronenberg movie.
Yes. So yeah, we gave everyone a little kind of a hint, but we had a Joe Blow nightclub meetup on Bourbon Street in New Orleans, as you guys call it. So stay tuned. We have a special episode. We recorded in person with Boss Tuna, Tebow, Trev and Rickles. So that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. You know, the one thing, actually, there's two things I need to address. I owe it to our listeners. The first one is I've had some people reach out about the last episode because, yeah, we recorded that in November and it was just released a couple weeks ago. And normally I have, you know, an excuse of me just being busy, which part of it is true, but as you probably are coming off the heels of that one, Tebow was fucking buckled. Or not Tebow, Boss Tuna. I was buckled. And when I edited that, I was like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. So I kind of held on to it for a little bit. I was wondering if I should just back burner it or not. But I'm like, ah, fuck it. It's the Joe Blow Show. So nobody, yeah. So yeah, this is a much different Boss Tuna. I'm not stumbling and yeah, dude, I was pretty fucking wrecked because we recorded that when I was up deer hunting at the cabin and I shot my deer early that morning. So I had been drinking since 10 a.m. that morning. And we
You're talking
recorded
about the
that
Shivers episode.
Shivers episode. Yeah.
I listen back, man. I don't find that.
Oh, I was fucking crippled.
Tebow be like that too. Just saying. Like, I'd be like that on the regular. On Joe Blow and on nightclub, so
yeah,
motherfuckers know, they know, and they that's why they like us, that's why they love us, that's
yeah,
why they can't wait to get a taste every
inside of
time.
us. Oh yeah, a taste.
Oh
Yes.
yeah, oh,
That's
yeah.
my bad.
I like how you went with it.
Hashtag patrons.
Let's go.
And the second thing I have to address, and this is going to be hard for me to say out loud, but it has come to my attention that people are now going to know that T-Boot is a bitch. And he got drank under the table by Boss Tuna two nights in a row.
I'm not gonna agree with that statement the way you put it necessarily. What I'm gonna say is that T-Boo went ham as fuck, had to get babysat
both nights.
But to my credit, I was out there on the dance floor, the only one out there on the dance floor dancing and singing and having a 10 out of a 10 time. Not to hate. No, I'm just saying, like, I went hard, but it's because I haven't had fun like that. And I was so excited to meet Boss Tuna in real life. Yeah, like Tuna was saying a minute ago, he came down to New Orleans and the nightclub met up with the Joe Blow Horror Show, which I'm part of both. So it was just a conglomeration of fucking epicness. And as Tuna said, we recorded together, we drank together, we partied together, and I just want to say I'm grateful, and I look forward to doing it again as soon as possible, because
it was a good time.
It was a great fucking time, man.
I don't remember what that bar was, but we drank them out of
the Jello shots. The
Jello shots, and everyone's like, "Oh, you pussies!" No, we got there, and we tried one, and we were like, "Holy fuck!" It was straight booze. You could have lit that on fire and thrown it like a Molotov.
Yes. They were cheap. That's why we kept getting them. They were like $6 a fucking syringe, and they were like syringes full of Jello shot. And I swear to God, they were 90% alcohol.
Oh yeah. And it was the big syringe too. It was, we drank them out of that. And by the end of the night, we were all crippled up pretty bad. But by the end of the night, we were like moving across the dance floor like that beast from Evil Dead Rise at the end of the movie in the fucking parking garage. We're just like one blob trying to get out of there.
Yes. So. We owned that town that night, man. Those two nights, we fucking did that shit. We did New Orleans right. And I'm so happy you came, dude. And that you let me come on you. Thank you so much. I love it. Thank you. Not the first time,
not the last time.
No, yeah, for real though. And are we gonna say what we recorded?
Yeah, well, fuck it, we'll say it. We you'll be hearing the next episode will be our end of the year episode, our top 15 of 2023. And good luck, because T-Boo is editing that one. And the recording itself was probably 7 hours long. And I think we joke about it in the show, but T-Boo was. Just tune in. Let's just say he got lost like twice trying to smoke cigarettes on our breaks. So
everyone tune in for that one. It's going to be hitting your fucking podcast feed next week, the week after you're hearing this episode. So stay tuned for our top 15, and it's going to be ridiculous. So you know how we do, cut.
Yep. Nothing like crushing whiskey at 10 a.m. on a Saturday. So.
And it's half, but it's also your fault. And I'm not going to fucking let it die, man. You also, and thank you graciously, bought a bunch of Louisiana brews for us to down the entire episode. And I did imbibe. So yeah, everyone's going to hear that on the next episode. I'm going to shut up about it, but It was super fun. It was amazing to be able to look that man in the eyes while we got to talk and laugh together. And again, I look forward to doing it.
Yes, he is as
soon.
Short as everybody says, and I'm as tall as we all say. So it was a sight to be seen.
It was something, huh? When you finally looked at me in the real flesh, the real life, and you were like, "This guy, it's this guy that I'm doing this with." he's shorter than my kids.
I mean, my 10-year-old's like 5'2 or 5'3. So.
Right. That we were almost the same height, and he's definitely gonna pass me up. So I was looking forward to that part myself. I like the shock of when people who kind of know me meet me and they're like, "Look at this little man." Oh shit. Yep.
So, but the whole thing stems from the fact that you talked a big game for many years.
Yeah.
And I put you over my knee and just spanked you when it
Oh,
comes to drinking.
I don't like that. Okay, but my ego does not like that term. But I get it. But you know what? We're gonna do it for real next time because I think I was drinking way more than you were drinking more of the time.
Hashtag fake news.
So fake news. How about when I go up there, when I visit, when Tebow and the
Case
nightclub goes
race.
to, we go, yes, let's start at the same time and drink the same shit and find out for real. For real, for real. Look,
Who's got the bigger load?
I'm gonna give it to you.
Oh, wait. You're
I'm
gonna
gonna
give it.
give it.
Okay.
Oh, no. I'm gonna give it to you. Yes, I fucking succumbed to New Orleans and it's insanity. And I definitely did not outdrink anybody. I was the drunkest the entire fucking time. So yes, I definitely lost the big game. But let's do it again. Round two. Best out of, but we'll do a best out of three, and round two will be when I go visit you in the great state of Iowa. And then we'll be able to figure out a round three after that.
All right, I'm game.
Yeah. Good.
So, before we get into the show, everybody's favorite part, make sure you support us. If you're listening, we know you love us. We love you. Hop on our socials. Give us a rating, 5 stars. If you're up for it, join our Discord. We have fun discussions. We play fun games.
A lot of
We have
horror
different.
articles and horror news, like all the time, popping up in there.
We have different channels to tickle your fancy. Or you can tickle our fancy, or I'll go and tickle your fancy. Email us if you will, joblahorrorshow@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is growing quite a bit. Again, Slasher, pop on that Slasher. We got like 14,000. I got to do a better job of posting on
That's
Slasher. I will,
so
but
crazy. That's a lot of people, man.
yep. But I don't know, man. We need to revisit a bar and we need to go and have a couple drinks because, oh, did you notice what I did though with my movie? So we
What?
did Shivers last time.
Oh,
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't
We did
remember.
Shivers. We did
No,
Shivers.
no, no. I don't remember what you did.
I did Antiviral. I mean, it kind of.
Oh,
Yeah, you see
yes.
that? You see
So
that?
you get the it's we got a sickness kind of fucking theme going on here, or like at least in name. Because the last movie was a whole both of these movies are a whole different beast, but I like the theme in between the Shivers and the fucking Antiviral.
And
Take your meds, bitches.
it's a foursome with Bastuna Tibu in the Cronenbergs, father and son.
Oh, we didn't do that on purpose though. That part just kind of happened.
And if Ian Cronenberg was here, it would be a
That's
fivesome with the frog cucking in the corner, cuck
right. He's in
corner.
the cuck chair.
He's in the cuck chair. Oh, that's a fun insider there. The
Yeah.
cuck corner. Yeah,
Bastuna,
he's gonna have to fight Rickles for that cuck corner.
I gotta tell everyone about that. Boss Tuna in his he had a nice. So we stayed at a Motel 6, the nightclub did. Boss Tuna stayed at a really nice hotel that was very close to Bourbon Street, and we got to record there. My boy had, his bed had a built-in cuck chair in there. It's amazing. It's so
It's hard
amazing.
to explain, but yeah, it was
Oh,
like
they
a
get it. Google it. Google it, everybody. Chair. You're going to find out real
Cuck
quick.
chair. Yep.
That's amazing.
But anyways, let's go see what's on tap this evening at the Titty Twister. We'll be right back.
We're slashing pussy in half. Give us an upper on our best selection of pussy. This is a pussy.
All right,
club.
All right. We got
everybody,
cold
pussy,
beer. We
fat
got
pussy,
cocktails.
pussy,
We got
margaritas. We got
pussy,
vodka on ice,
pussy,
whiskey on ice, gin
pussy,
on ice, gin and piss. We got motherfucking, well, the same thing I always drink, fancy gas station beer. But Boss
yeah.
Tuna's coming at us with something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to go first. because I'm drinking the same shit I'm always drinking. Unfortunately, T-Boo has empty pockets. So, and I don't have Boss Tuna's New Orleans fridge that was stocked full of Abita, vanilla, Andy Gator, fucking supreme goodness. And I don't have the whiskey I had, which again was some cheaper ass whiskey, just saying, some E&J. Tonight I'm drinking Tropical Bear Hug. Y'all have heard me say it before. It's a Goose Island beer from Long Island. I enjoy their beers, and you know, for $2.99 at the gas station, you can get a tall boy, 9.9% by volume. It will fuck you up. But fuck me and fuck my cheap ass beer. What you drinking tonight, Tuna?
I am drinking a Drekker. So my son had a hockey tournament in Fargo, North Dakota. And actually, it's pretty cool. It's a Squirt International Hockey Tournament. There were 64 teams from all over the U.S. and Canada. And we took 9th overall.
Oh, so, nice. Yeah.
But while we were up there,
nine is a magic number, bro. I love that number. That's 9 and 13 are my two favorite numbers, just saying.
Well, there you go. Magical number 9 for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the brewery is up there, the Drekker Brewery. So we went there and it was pretty sweet. I would recommend anyone that's in the vicinity or if you're ever up there, go check out that Drekker Brewery. It's massive. There's a huge beer hall that used to be an old, like a train, not a depot, but like where they worked on trains. So it was ginormous and it was super tall, had beams. And then you'd walk through it and they had this other huge warehouse that had a bunch of like shops in there. It was wild. I've never seen anything. It was almost like being in a mall. So they had like restaurants and little shops and they had tons of like Drekker bars around. And then on top of that, the building I want to say was four or five stories tall, and the top couple floors were a hotel. So it was pretty wild. But anyways, I got the Drekker Plop, and this is one of their fruited hard seltzers. It's thick though. It's thick like a fruited sour. It's pineapple, banana, cream of coconut, blue spirulina, vanilla, soft serve ice cream. It's fucking delicious.
Shit.
It's delicious. Wow. I showed T-Boo and it's green, so it's a pretty cool color.
Yeah, it's like he's drinking the fucking liquid damn reanimator out of his fucking can. What's the percentage on that bad boy?
Ooh, good call. It is...
Drum roll.
I might have to get back to you on that. Oh, 6%.
A nice solid beer right there.
Yeah. So.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir. Got the good stuff.
I'm getting New Orleans pie.
Yeah, I'm a little bit hurting still. So, I mean, this is a Thursday, and I'll tell you what. I flew into New Orleans. We were, so just to give you guys a little bit, you didn't hear that episode yet. Just a heads up, you might hear this story on the next episode. Maybe not.
Fuck it.
But we were up. Yep. So our flight boarded at 6:20, and I live about 50 minutes from the airport. So I was up at like 3:30 in the morning or some shit. So we're at the airport and we all meet up there. And next thing I know, there's a fireball shooter in my face at 5 a.m. So boom, first fireball, 5 a.m. Thursday morning. We get into St. Louis, get off the airplane. Boom, another fireball shooter. Oh, okay, great. We had like an hour layover. So we sat at this bar. Granted, it's like 8:30 in the morning in St. Louis. Drinks, vodka cranberries, get ready to board the other airplane to New Orleans. Boom, another fireball shooter. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking lovely. I'm going to be just fucking spilling over myself. Anyways, we get into New Orleans, get our shit packed up, and we go and we hit the streets. And it was like, I sat there and I was like, I'm ready to go to bed. It's gotta be like, you know, 6-7 o'clock. And my brain didn't even comprehend the fact that it wasn't dark yet. 2 o'clock. And this is after we'd been there for a couple hours. But anyways, we decided when we did this trip that we were going to fly in Thursday and fly out Monday night. So we had multiple hard nights. I took Sunday night in month. We didn't fly out until 6:30 on Monday night. So I was hurting for a long time. So that's why recover. I'm drinking this fucking little seltzer bullshit here, because I'm just not feeling it, man. I drank $1,000 worth of alcohol and 500 beers while I was down there. So
I don't know if I gave the listeners this on the next episode, so I'll give them my little spiel before we go. The day that we were supposed to drive into New Orleans, I went ahead and bought myself a pint of whiskey, and I drank about half of it while I was doing shit during the day, some podcast related stuff. And then I sobered up with some coffee and some water before I had to drive the nightclub, because Trev and Ricky came and met us. Cody Co unfortunately could not come, but we'll be doing his list on the nightclub later. Anyway, so I sobered up, drove my friends into the town, and then we went and met Boss Tuna. And before we met Boss Tuna, we had to find hand grenades. And I don't mean the kind that go boom, but I mean the kind that go boom inside of you. In New Orleans, they have a signature drink called a hand grenade. And if you visit New Orleans, you have to go get this drink. It's like $10. It's not that bad, and it's super potent. And it will.
It's melon flavored, I believe, right?
It's so delicious.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
A mosquito just flew in my mouth. It's so delicious. And
yeah, it wasn't a mosquito. It might have been Boss.
Damn, you buzzing around in there, cuh. It's a very potent drink, and if you have like two or three of them, you're already good. Like you probably don't need anything else. So we found those before we actually met Boss Tuna in real life, and he surprise sneak attacked us, and it was so fun. And then everything went from there, and you'll hear about all that on the next episode.
Yep. Look at that. We're sitting at a bar telling stories. That's what you do at a bar.
That's what you
Anyways,
do.
Anyways, it's probably time to load into the Winnebago and head to our feature presentation. I got to get like that old, do you remember that old school HBO sound? Like when they had the movie on, it was like that little static, and then it was a,
yeah, I like that.
I got to find that. Anyways, yeah. We're going to take a quick break here. You're going to hear the trailer for the next film we'll be talking about. We'll be right back.
Fame, glamour, perfection. What if you could find it all at the tip of a needle? Here at the Lucas Clinic, we strive to bring you closer to celebrity than ever before. With samples drawn directly from the source, you can be connected in ways you never imagined.
Do you not agree that the mania surrounding celebrity is reaching an unhealthy level?
No, I don't. My clients want to feel more connected to those people that they see in the magazines and on television.
Enjoy.
So far, I've had all her diseases.
Must have been expensive.
Is there any way you could spread it?
What happened to Anna Geist?
It's pretty shocking.
Have you started bleeding yet?
Bleeding?
From your mouth.
I don't understand how this isn't considered cannibalism.
Did you become involved in something sinister?
It's a weird business, Sid.
Okay, so the next film is Antiviral from 2012. This is not rated. It is 108 minutes, and this came in at a what on IMDb, Tebow?
That's interesting. I didn't look any of this up. I just watched this a couple of hours ago for the first time ever. I'm gonna guess on the B, 5.6.
Very close, 5.7. What about Rotten Tomatoes? Wow. Again, IMDb user score, Rotten Tomatoes critic score.
I'm gonna guess the critics probably enjoyed this more than audiences. I'm gonna say 73%.
65%.
65. Oh, okay, okay.
The budget now. What do you think this got as a budget?
This didn't seem like, and this was in
2012.
Yeah, so 2012. I'm gonna say 1.3 million.
I was guessing 1.5. I found 3. Actually, wait, check that. It's 3.2 Canadian. I just realized.
Well, what but does that still, mean?
I don't know.
It's we don't have a
2 million
calculator.
Bottles of syrup, 3.2 million. 3.2 million maple leaves. What the fuck do they use?
Like 5.5 moose corpses. I don't know.
Crisp high fives and a sack of gumballs and a fucking elk hindquarter. I have no idea. Whoa. But if I cared more, I'd probably Google it. But well, I was still guessing like 1.5 million American.
Yeah, like around. That's why I was saying 1.3, 1.5. And maybe 3 million Canadian is equivalent to 2 million American, maybe somewhere. It's got to be somewhere in there. So interesting, interesting on the critic score and on the budget, because you could tell it's a low budget film. I mean, there's not like anything astoundingly visually insane, but it you could also tell there is a budget behind this movie at the same time. So yeah, I'm surprised to find out both those things. And like you were saying, this is the Cronenberg double feature, unintentional. So we did a David Cronenberg film previously for our old movie, and for our new movie tonight we're doing Brandon Cronenberg's first feature film, which Tuna tuned me into. I didn't know that this, I thought his first movie was Possessor and his second was Infinity Pool. I didn't know he made this antiviral movie, or how do you say it?
Antiviral. So I found $3 million Canadian dollars nowadays is $2.2 million US dollars, which still, I thought that, I mean, given that scale, if that was closed back in 2012, I thought that the budget didn't quite reflect that, but
no, it doesn't. It's like a higher budget for the movie.
Right.
But fine enough. I mean, they did create their own world. They did a lot of things in this movie that were, you know, maybe more costly than we'd imagine as non filmmakers. So again,
like I said, I'm not a filmmaker, movie maker. I have really a limited knowledge base of kind of how that type of stuff goes and works, but I mean, Caleb Landry Jones, well, we'll get into it. It was written and directed by Brandon Cronenberg, obviously the son of David Cronenberg, most notable for, well, he's only got a handful of films out there, but this was his first feature. You probably know him from Possessor and Infinity Pool. The stars Caleb Landry Jones, who even back then was, you know, not a nobody, but you probably know him from The Last Exorcism, Get Out, The Dead Don't Die.
He looks like an Irish Bill Skarsgård.
I was going to say he looks like a Culkin brother.
True. Both. I think he's a Culkin Skarsgård.
Yep.
All hail the Culkin. The Culkin guard.
Sarah Gadon. She was in Vampire Versus the Bronx. And then Malcolm McDowell. Like, come on. We're past explaining who Malcolm McDowell is.
But let's not skimp on how skimpy he is in this movie. His name being that high up is kind of fucking fraudulent to me.
Yep. Well, there was really nobody in this film, though.
Fair enough. But like, he showed up for like 2 seconds and I was like, oh, what are you doing here, Alex, Dr. Loomis?
Yep. Probably doing a favor to Brendan Cronenberg for his dad.
Right. David called him up and was like, hey, bro. Can you like, and he's like, don't worry, man. I got you. Skin graft me real quick.
Really, the only other actor I guess we should have looked at was the guy that owned the butcher shop. I can't remember. Vassar. What the fuck was his name?
Arvid? I don't know. I don't have
an actor. Was it Arvid or something?
Arvid.
Yes, Arvid. That's what it was.
Yes.
So a little trivia for this, obviously not a lot, but one thing I thought was pretty cool were all the close-up shots of the needle were real. So when they were going into skin and that type of stuff, so that was all real.
That shit, and like we'll talk about it more, but like that kind of stuff, I can look at like Terrifier 2 and watch Art the Clown rip a bitch's face apart and all that and be like, hell yeah, this is dope. Needles going into skin, that kind of shit skeeves me out, man. It gives me the creeps and the heebie-jeebies. I don't know why. Maybe it's like this intrusive, it's like a sneaky attack. And it's like, ooh, you almost don't even see it coming. And I hate needles. I hate them.
I'm kind of used to them. And speaking of Fargo, North Dakota, so I went to college up in northern Minnesota at Bemidji State University, but we used to do this thing. It was called a prax study, and it was in Grand Forks, North Dakota. So we drive over to Grand Forks, and you drive there, like you'd have to check in by 6 on a Friday night, and they'd release you Sunday morning. And basically what they do is they take, like, we'll say 20 people, and they split you in half. And the first half will get a pill, not enough to do, like, you know, like blood pressure medicine or something like that. And the other half would get a sugar pill, a placebo.
Yeah.
And they just test the effects in your bloodstream. But they draw your blood, like, holy fuck, dude.
No,
you'd have phlebotomists. And a lot of the time you'd have, like, phlebotomists and training. And I remember at one, and dude, they, like, I had one
they
study.
They can't find
where,
the vein.
Yeah. I had one study where they had to draw it, like, every hour for 6 hours at a time, and then you'd have a break. But I remember in the middle of the night, I fell asleep when they were drying it, and I rolled over and it ripped the thing out, and I'm just fucking squirting blood out, and I wake back up and they're freaking out. I've had one where I had a rookie phlebotomist. Dude, and my veins are pretty easy. Like, I've got pretty, like, you know.
Oh, you a thick veiny boy? I'm a thick veiny boy. Yeah.
And she couldn't find the, well, what happened was is she went all the way through the vein and stuff, and it was, I had the gnarliest fucking bruise ever. But anyways, this was back in the early 2000s when we did this. And I remember we'd get like $1,200 for a fucking weekend, Friday night to like 6 a.m. Sunday morning, they'd release you. Oh. And when you're a poor college kid, that $1,200, like, geez.
Yeah. Big time. Big time. Yeah. That $1,200 like would do me wrong.
Yeah. You can stick a lot of things in me for $1,200.
This is apropos of nothing, but you have my stogies? Do you have my fucking my Phillies? God damn it.
There is one left. There is one, but I left it at the hotel with two beers left over. I don't know if I told you that, but when I checked out of Monday, you know, everybody else was out and about and they were like having Bloody Marys and stuff. Granted, most of the people I was with were in bed by 10 o'clock. So, you know, they were up early and stuff and shit. That one night we were out, Saturday night, we were out until like fucking 3 or 4 in the morning, dude.
Both nights we were out till 3 in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, Monday I tried cracking one of the beers. I took like 2 sips of it and dumped it out. So I just left, a stogie and a fucking.
I've been looking for my cigars, and I'm like, I must have left them with tuna, which cool.
There was only one left. We smoked them all, and the only reason there's one left is because you were too drunk to grab yours. So when we were stumbling around Bourbon Street, you didn't have
all
one.
All good. So didn't mean to derail everything.
No, it's all good. Story time, bud. Let's get into this, T-Boo.
Oh shit, we done with the trivia and the production. All right, so. First time watch, this movie is about a guy named Sid March, who, and I'm not going to lie.
Hold on. Let me read this movie. Yeah. I'm going to just take a second here to read the plot synopsis deal, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so people know kind of, because we're going to be all over the place trying to talk about it. Although there's really not a lot to talk about, but there kind of is. So.
There's a lot in there, ain't yeah. Yeah, I agree
in a blackly satirical near future, a thriving industry sells celebrity illnesses to their obsessed fans. Employee Sid March's attempts to exploit the system backfire when they involve him in a potentially deadly mystery.
Yes, that is the basic drumming up of what this plot is. And okay, so Sid March is the employee of the Lucas Clinic, which, like Tune was saying. In the near future, and this took me honestly like 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes of this movie to understand fully what the fuck was even going on.
Yep, I agree.
There's this that's led by this guy that figured out after. So this movie's about celebrity obsession at the core of it. That's what the core of this movie is about. Celebrity obsession, obsessing over celebrities, how we idolize them, how we the pedestal that they rest upon, and it takes it to another level. And in a purely Cronenberg fashion,
it took a while to get into the Cronenberg part of it, but once you were there, it went hard in the paint. I would say it, because the movie is 108 minutes. You were probably over an hour in before you kind of got the gist of what's going on.
Yeah. And I play stupid a lot, but I don't consider myself a dumbass when it comes to movies and picking up on things. This movie seriously took me about 40, 50 minutes to fully understand what I'm watching and what's going on. Cause I didn't look at the plot synopsis. I went in blind. Tuna just said the movie's antiviral. I checked with him this morning and said, is this the movie? And I sent him a screenshot of like Google, like what the movie poster is. And he's like, yeah, that's the movie. I'm like, all right, cool. So I watched this movie and I'm in it. And so Sid March works as an employee for the Lucas Clinic. And this place sells viruses and pathogens that famous celebrities have fallen ill with to clients that are obsessed with those celebrities. So they want a deeper connection, more than just having a poster or reading an article or watching a movie or whatever the celebrity is a part of. If they make music, whatever, fuck it. They're obsessed with the celebrity. So we're taking celebrity culture to a new level, like how nowadays people want to follow them on their social medias and they want to like everything they post. If someone takes a fucking shit, they're going to like it. You know what I'm saying? This movie is like, well, guess what? Paula Abdul had a goddamn
mouth herpes.
She had the COVID. Yeah, she had herpes. You want her? You want the exact same herpes that was flowing through her bloodstream? We're going to provide the company that Sid works for, Lucas Clinic, and there's other companies we're going to find out. They're going to supply the obsessive fans with that exact same virus, disease, pathogen. They're going to fucking give them the COVID. The celebrity COVID is
you know,
what this
funny
movie's
too,
all about.
Watching this in 2012, before we were really at the height of the social media, which we are now, it was interesting because, you know, what you said is 100% accurate. You think it's weird watching this movie, someone comes in, and it's cool because, you know, I'm a salesman, and he's got his sales pitch that he goes through.
Oh, yeah.
Very good at it.
He looks at, so... And just to cut in real quick, the biggest celebrity for the Lucas Clinic is Hannah Geist. And Sid has, like Tuna saying, his pitch is like, look at her. She's almost perfect. She is perfect. She's more than human. And in my mind, Rob Zombie's more human than a human.
Same here. Same here.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it was cool because when you're first watching it, you're like, God, he's really fucking, you know, laying it on thick with his sales stuff. And then you realize it's the exact same pitch. And they lay out three options in front of you. And, you know, they're always pushing the most expensive one. And that first one is that fucking herpes. And he sticks the needle right in the guy. And he gets super close. Like, it was almost awkward close.
Intimate.
I thought he was going to kiss him for a second.
It's intimate. It's very... It is. He says that, though. He's like, imagine she kisses you on the left side, the right side of your mouth. The virus is going to show up on the... He says something like that.
Yep.
The
virus will be like, on your left. Yep.
He gets real close. And I'm saying all this in hindsight because at this moment, when I'm first watching this movie, I have no idea what they are talking about. I'm just like, what's even happening right now? Dude, I was lost as fuck. And maybe I'm not as fucking in tune as I think I am when I watch some movies. But this movie really left me guessing until about the 50-minute mark,
yep,
where I
yep.
finally started to get the gist of what this movie was saying or doing in the plot. But yeah, he punctures that guy's fucking mouth and gives him the fucking Hannah Geist herpes. And he does that so... I like how you said that. He got so close to him, because while I'm watching it, I'm like, this is uncomfortable, dude. Like, why are you... But it's part of the sales pitch. It's part of... Because he immediately asks him right then and there, do you have a good credit card on file? Like you got your credit card, right? Like, he knows he's about to make this sale right now, and he's going to fucking inject
this. Caleb Landry Jones kills it. I mean... His acting in this movie is a 10. I will say that.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, if a big chunk of your budget went to that, then I'd say bravo. But right away, you realize that the movie is very modern. It's a very clean white on black look. I mean, it's a very modern clinic. Everything is very white with black trim, from the clinic to his apartment. And as the movie progresses, he gets sicker and sicker, and I like how it goes from that clean, modern, white and black look to that
dark,
grungy,
gritty.
Dark, yeah. Gritty. He's sickly, sweaty.
We should say this is also set in the near future, and if this movie came out in 2012, the near future could have been, in anyone's mind, 2022, if we want to just jump ahead 10 years, but I would say this could be like maybe 2042, where we've taken all the obsessions to the next level. But all that being said, you're right. And I noticed all that pure whiteness,
yep.
Even when it comes to something that we're going to touch on in a minute, the celebrity meat, the whiteness yep. of everything is so,
yes. yep.
it's so sterile, but
thematically,
at the
there's
gross.
A lot going in on this. I mean, you can go and say that with David Cronenberg anyways, where he not to kind of put it in a derogatory term, but he is almost a pretentious kind of
yeah
director, and he's coming out swinging with this film with that, because that you get that right away. So I mean, you know, part of you is sitting there thinking, you know, is the white, I mean, is innocence, is it like, because the whole film, I'm gonna try to piece this together here in a coherent way that Drunk Boss Tuna couldn't with Shivers. But the whole film kind of is a backhand when it comes to celebrity obsession. And yeah. I feel like he had the white in it to kind of just put, because white is like the color of innocence, right? And that's not at all what's going on here. So I'm wondering if that was playing into the whole theme.
It's the color of innocence, but and purity, but it's also in the way that we know it as, like, in modern society, as the color of sterility, the color of safety. White is safe.
Yep.
White means, like, you fly the white flag, it's peace, it's safe.
Yep.
So everything being so white, it seems like it's a safe thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening in this movie is not safe. It's not okay. It's not pure. It's not innocent. It's the opposite. And so the movie degrades the same way the bodies eventually degrade. The sickness degrades the bodies. And where we end up at the end, and I'm not going to say it yet, but with that tank,
yep,
that's where we end up. And it's the opposite of pure. It's the opposite of all yep. of the things that we want to build up in our mind when we think of the color white. But you're on point with this. And look, Joe Blow's getting deep tonight. We're getting deep, bitches. So fucking get your snack, get your beer, get your gummy, and get ready to fucking go hard in the paint. Because we're doing a Cronenberg movie that, I ain't gonna lie to y'all, it took me a minute to get into, but I did get into it. I did. How deep or how much, we'll see. But at this point, we also learned that there's another character that's working at the Lucas Clinic named Derek.
Yes.
And
it's a really, really tight cast. There's you get Derek, Sid, and a couple other kind of salesmen, I guess I'd call them.
They're always making little banter when they're coming
yep.
in and out of work.
Because
yep. they all get their little packages, right? Like, they get their little, like you said, every package has like an ID number and it's got the viruses in it. and it's what they're going to sell to their clients and all that shit. And the Lucas Clinic takes a very hard stance on checking their employees for if they're coming or going with viruses, any kind of anything from the clinic. They don't want no one.
Because there's a lot of controversy where people are wondering, is it manufactured or is it real? And it leaves you as a viewer kind of guessing until a little bit, but we're spoiler filled. We're going to spoil it for you.
Yeah.
They sign clients kind of. So you're, you know, the Hannah Geist or whatever, she's got a specific deal with the Lucas Clinics, and there's, you know, a couple other big celebrities out there as well. So they're all vying for the rights to sell their sickness. So
this is the scene though, where it became clear to me kind of where the movie was going. So we find out that Sid is like a virus heister. This guy is taking the viruses from celebrities and injecting them into his own body to sneak away from the Lucas Clinic and sell them on the virus celebrity black market.
Yep.
That's where we meet our boy. What's his name? Arvid?
Arvid, I think. Yeah.
Arvid. He runs a butcher shop, and we see the butcher shop in the movie where people go into this place. I love this idea and this concept, where you go into this. So in this celebrity obsessed culture in the near future, you can go into a butcher shop where you can buy cuts of meat,
lab grown,
from the celebrities that you admire, and you can eat them.
And they're fucking gross, dude.
It's all white and gray, right?
Disgusting. Yeah, yeah.
It looks fucked. It's fucked. And so Sid is selling Arvid these viruses, and like he has a channel to that black market through Arvid, and he
cultures them basically. He cultures them and grows meat in what I can only describe as a Cronenberg type device.
That console. And is so, yeah, that's a great point. Sid has a console. Excuse me, my voice is breaking, everybody. Excuse my voice tonight, listeners. I'm sorry. I'm recovering from the cat's meow. So much screaming and singing. He has a console in his apartment, hidden in his closet, in his wardrobe, where it's the same one that's at the Lucas Clinic and that other clinics that are similar to the Lucas Clinic, which it's called Vol and Tessel, I think is the other big one.
That sounds like a bar on Bourbon Street, but
I think it's called Vol and Tessel is the other big one. And they have these machines where they can manipulate the virus and, you know, like this is kind of where I get lost a little bit on the plot.
Yeah, I wasn't completely certain what his machine was and what it did specifically.
I think it manipulates the viruses to where you can orchestrate how they affect people and like eliminate some of the severity to what the virus is. I think that's what's happening.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I don't fully know and understand, and that's still a little part of the movie that's a little bit of a, not full mystery, but it's a big deal that he has this console because of what happens a little bit later. But through this console, Sid is able to manipulate these pathogens, sell them off to Arvid, and after injecting them into himself, so he's a virus heister.
I like the Arvid character too, in the swing it takes here in a minute, but it's cool because he's always nervous. They show multiple times him entering and leaving the facility, and you can tell he's nervous about, you know, is he going to get caught or not? But then you find out this Derek Lawson guy gets caught and he gets brought in for questioning, and you're like, oh, he's fucked. And then they're like, yeah, did you know he did this and this and this?
Yeah. The boss brings him in and he's like, questioning Sid, and the boss is Lucas himself from Lucas Clinic, and he does not notice the body language, in my opinion, because I've been watching all these. I've been on a kick lately, y'all, where I'm watching these true crime interrogation videos where you have people break down the body language of people during interrogations. And whenever Lucas is asking Sid about, because they find out that Derek had a console hidden in his apartment, and Lucas of the Lucas Clinic had his people do a audit of their consoles and found out there was a second one missing, aka the one in fucking Sid's apartment. When he says this, Sid gulps. His throat visibly, he gulps. He does a big gulp. If you're paying attention to human body language, you would see that, and that would be a sign if you're fucking watching for it. So I'm just saying, little info for the listeners out there. You want to say some real shit to someone you think is guilty of some shit, and they gulp because their throat's suddenly dry? Yeah, they know something.
Yep.
They guilty or they know something about what you're asking. So anyway, I was clued in on that, and I was like, damn, that's cool that they put that in there as a small touch. But The whole time Lucas is talking to him, he's looking down pretty much. He's not even addressing Sid eye to eye like you would as a real fucking human being. So, big fuck up there. But he assigned Sid to go and get this new virus that their big celebrity, Hannah Geist, we've mentioned before, has. She's bedridden with this new virus. And normally they would send Derek. I guess he was their top salesman or whatever. But since Derek got arrested low-key, they're keeping that out the press. They're going to go ahead and send your boy, Sid. And he goes there. And I don't like their protocol. How can you leave this place with her blood and just easily go fucking pierce the capsule? He puts it in himself, like, and no one knows. To me, that's a little bit of a plot hole that I didn't enjoy.
And like, does she know how many vials he takes? She only took one. You know, like, why wouldn't you take a couple and sell it? But yeah, it was, for how much money they're making off of this, it was pretty loose for the security and protocol.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But your boy, who's Sid, who's been injecting himself with all these viruses, he's been sick the whole movie, and people around him kind of notice it, but they don't think much of it. I guess he kind of plays it off that he's just sick as fuck. He gets really sick after he gets this injection, to the point to where he can't do his sales pitch anymore. He starts wanting to throw up in the middle of it, and he has to leave his workplace. Ugh, excuse me. And go back to his apartment and fall. He starts to analyze.
Literally
he
falls asleep.
Yeah. He takes the blood out of himself. Excuse my burping. And puts it in his console in his closet and starts to try to analyze what the fuck he just got from Hannah, who was bedridden. And he passes out. When he wakes up, his machine has overheated and it's broken. So his console is no more good. He goes downstairs to his landlord, and she tells him that there were people that showed up that were trying to get into his apartment and left him a phone number.
Yeah. And she tells him Hannah Geist is dead.
Yes. That's the other thing. And throughout this movie, we've been seeing on every TV in the background and everything, the celebrity obsession full on display. So kudos to Brandon Cronenberg and the filmmakers for actually making this world actually like feel that everyone in society is completely celebrity obsessed, to the point to where, like we said a minute ago, they're eating lab grown meat from the cellular structure of these fucking people.
And it is exaggerated, but if you think about it, like, how much do weirdos fucking pay for like socks and underwear and, you know, weird articles of clothing from certain people? You know, it's really not all that far off.
No, it's not. And that's the weird, spooky part of this, is that it's, you could almost, because some people could say, okay, that's too far. This would never happen. But then you're like, okay, but really, would this you don't think that there wouldn't be some even niche part of culture out there that wouldn't fucking buy a Taylor Swift steak and eat that shit? Fuck you if you're fucking not. I think there would totally be that.
Shout out to Rammstein in their song Mein Teil, which is based off the true story of the guy in Germany not all that long ago that put out a classified ad looking for
cannibal, the cannibal guy.
Yeah, it was something like looking for 18 to 30 well-built male willing to let me eat him. And
yes.
Someone answered that, and he fucking ate a guy and killed him. So,
yes.
I mean, let's be real here.
That really happened in real life.
Yes, it did happen. So,
fucking A, dude. Like, that was some crazy shit. And I actually like that. I don't love that it happened, but I like that story. I've heard it a few times. There's YouTube videos out there. Everyone go check it out. It's a real thing. So homeboy has the blood sample from Hannah. His shit don't work. He knows people are like looking for him at this point. And he starts to experience all the fucked up shit that's going on with her. And he's trying to fix his console. So he goes back to Arvid, the meat supplier, the guy that he's fucking giving these viruses to. And he sets him up with a meeting with this guy, Levine, who is pretty much in charge of the piracy group that's getting all this shit underground, all the celebrity viruses and all this bad stuff. And Levine is like, I'm going to fix your console, but I want samples of your blood. And Sid's like, hell, nah, you're not getting that. So Levine's like, fuck you, I'm taking your blood, and gets the pathogen that killed Hannah Geist. "Quote unquote," killed Hannah Geist.
I do like this scene because Arvid came off kind of as like a buddy, like a friend character. He did not come off as an antagonist, which you now know he is. Like, he's fucking ruthless, and all he cares about is that dollar sign. So, yeah, he's behind this whole thing. He pretty much betrayed him. He set him up for it so he could get a cut. And yeah.
Everything since Hannah died and the world knows about it, everything on the mainstream market is being price gouged, upselled. Everything on the black market is fucking going like hotcakes. And after Sid is, you know, fucking basically he got his blood elite, like forcibly drawn.
Oh, dude, he got like blood raped real hard.
He did. And the next day he wakes up on the street corner and he goes into this cafe to eat something. And these two guys come in.
Kind of like New Orleans.
Yeah. It's just like, who the fuck are you motherfuckers? And they both order calamari. They both want the calamari. And they tell Sid, like, you're going to come with us. And if you want to make a scene, it ain't going to go too good. So Sid's like, fuck it, I'm too weak. Let's go. Sid learns from Hannah's physician, which is the Malcolm McDowell character. He shows up out of nowhere. And I'm like, God damn, it's Dr. Loomis looking from the new Rob Zombie movies. Yeah, he looks exactly the same. He's got the same infection that was intentionally engineered, so it can't like be an
she was like, yeah, she was pretty much like I don't even know what you attacked. I mean, it was like something Putin would do.
Yes, she got Russianed really hard, and the disease prevents an analysis, so you can't really figure out what's going on. And he's explaining this to Sid. And he's got these skin grafts on him. That's a really creepy scene where he's like,
yeah, that is. He's like, oh, this is from this celebrity and this is from that celebrity. And he's like, I got extra stakes in this because she was my first.
Oh, and when he touches it, he's like, he gets like the fucking cummies. He's coming when he fucking touches the skin graft. Very fucking weird. It turns out that Hannah Geist's death was fabricated to protect her, but she's in like a very weary state. Like, she's about to die. She's coughing up blood. And Sid gets to meet with her. And this virus has been modified from her illness. So like everything is in flux at this point. This movie's kind of going a little crazy. And I'm not gonna lie, this is where I started to lose track again of like everything that's going on. And this is a first time, only time watch. So I'm trying to keep up with the movie. And again, I got 50 minutes into it and I was still like, what is even happening? And I finally got into the plot. And now at this point, the plot is starting to lose me again, like a little bit.
Yeah, it was tough. Basically, they're trying to have him help figure out what the disease is so they can get a cure for it. So they let him go and they're like, we'll give you this fucking XL8 or whatever the hell the part was to figure it out.
His console fix his console. Yeah. Yep.
But the whole time he's being, you know, badgered by the Levine Corp wanting more shit from him and blood. And so then it to the point where they kidnap him and he's in a room and they're like, we're just going to kind of keep you here and we're just going to, you know, continue to
film, and they film him. They want to show like the effects of this virus on him, like through live streaming. Again, this is way before that was even really a thing, but they were like live streaming him. And I think this is the Volan Tesser company.
Yes. Yep.
And they have this doctor in there that's like telling him it's, you know, this is what we're going to do to you. And Sid gets up at some point, like again, blood ridden, fucking coughing up blood and everything else.
Yeah, he's fucked at this point.
He takes a chance and I don't know where he gets the syringe. I don't recall, but he gets a excuse me, everyone. He gets a syringe and stabs that fucking asshole in the mouth with it.
In his gums, like in his lower gums beneath his teeth, like blood coming out everywhere. And ugh.
It's so fucking gross and fucked up. And he runs away, gets a hostage, and gets the fuck out of there. Like, how he gets out of there is crazy to me. But before he can even, like, go further, he gets contracted by the same people that were, like, this is where I can't tell if it was the Volan Tesser people or if this was
neither can I, really.
Yeah. I think it's the Volan Tesser people, though, that originally infected Hannah so they could harvest her and patent her infected blood. I think that was where it was going. So I don't think the Lucas Clinic is involved at this point. And we're getting towards the end of the movie, everybody.
Yeah, we're in the last like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. The movie doesn't have a traditional climax, in my opinion. It kind of peters out to me. This is kind of the feeling I got.
Yep.
You are
left with that. No, go ahead. You are left with that final scene though of the tank or whatever you want to call it.
Right. After Sid realizes that Volan Tesser had infected Hannah to harvest her and patent their fucking pathogen from her fucking dead body or dying body, we're about to find out. Sid negotiates a deal and the film closes with a Hannah that is like, oh my god, I'm in this tank, I'm dead, I'm fucking, and they show you her body that is strewn out in this tank. It looks like a fucking COVID lung tank from back in the 50s, but also COVID a few years ago.
Yep. And that arm thing coming out at the end was weird. It was like an arm, but it wasn't. It was just like an appendage that came out one side of the tank and went in the other.
It looked like an arm leg combination. It was so like, what is this? But it connected back to her like completely flesh melted away, just bones and organs, body with a face in this tank.
Yep.
And they're selling this new product that they're going to provide to the fans where like they're demonstrating this new virus. And they stick a needle in her and they do everything else. And they're like advertising this to people. Like next month, we're going to fully explain what this virus does to all the people that want Hannah's shit inside their fucking cellular structure. And the movie ends, like you said, with this appendage being cut open by Sid. And he reiterates his sales pitch. Like, isn't she perfect? She's more than human, and he sucks that black blood out of that appendage.
And if you're sitting there thinking, what the fuck is happening? I don't get it. Welcome to the club, because we watched it and we still don't get it. So
I do not. Yeah. So if we're going to go into final thoughts and ratings in a minute here, I will reserve myself, but I will say this before final thoughts and ratings. I struggled with this movie. And when I knew it was a Cronenberg movie, Son or Father, I was like, you know what? When it comes to the Cronenbergs, for me, both Son and Father, they are hit or miss. And I'll get into that a little bit deeper in a minute. But holy fuck. What amazing amount of ideas. What amazing amount of acting, story, imagery, and how little it adds up to for me.
Yes. So, when I was sitting there at the end of this, I was feeling the same I was after I saw, was it Crimes of the Future, the latest one from David Cronenberg?
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah. I'll hop into my final thoughts and ratings here. So the first act, I was sitting there like, what's going on? Yeah. I mean, I was really struggling to pay attention to it, but I did. And I watched this all in one sitting. But I was struggling trying to piece things together, and he gives you just enough to keep you sitting there and trying to guess. Like, I was tempted to, you know, be like, all right, I'm going to look at my phone for a little bit here, but I didn't. And then it gets into the whole Arvid scenario story. And that was pretty cool, because then it peaked up a little bit there, because I didn't expect him to kind of have that character plot progression. So that was pretty cool there. And then you get into the Cronenberg effects of the body horror. And again, it culminates to what you're hoping is going to be like a wraparound kind of ending thing. And it left you kind of ambiguous, like, you know, wanting more, like, how does this finish out and play out? And I was left unfulfilled. So, I mean, we talked a little bit about the themes, because thematically there's a conversation to be said here, because I think that it is left ambiguous for a reason, but there's enough for you to, you know, try to, you know, throw darts at the board as far as what you think's going on. But all in all, I thought this was, what I'll say before that, however, is I am not the biggest Cronenberg in general fan, especially Brandon Cronenberg. None of his movies I thought were really that good. Possessor is probably my favorite. And that one's probably sitting at about a 7 for me. David, very hit and miss. I did love The Fly very much so. Shivers is probably my... The Fly and Shivers might be my all-time favorites. The rest of them, okay. But I thought this was a... Go ahead.
Scanners. Anyway.
Oh, Scanners. Yeah. I forgot about Scanners. That one's a fucking gem as well.
Yeah.
But Antiviral, it's kind of a pretentious bore fest for me, if I'm being honest. I really wasn't there with it overall. And I'm coming in at a 4.5 out of 10. So it might seem a little harsh, but I just wanted more from it.
All right, so I'm going to echo a lot of what you said, dude. Like, so you picked this movie.
I did.
And I went going into it, I was like, I think Tuna likes this movie, so I'm going to watch it and be like, all right. And I'm watching the movie, and I know it's Brandon Cronenberg. And so to echo you a few times, I'm going to do it a few times. When it comes to Brandon Cronenberg, Possessor is my favorite movie of his. I'm higher than you. I think it's like a 9 out of 10. Infinity Pool is not that good. This movie is even worse. David Cronenberg, his father, is hit and miss for me as well. I love some of his movies, and some of his movies, Shivers, I don't love as much. But this is like a bad David Cronenberg film. This is pretentious out the ass. I was lost for the first hour of this movie, not because, you know, and maybe that's my fault, but I feel like this movie doesn't properly set up what you're looking at. And I like ambiguity as much as the next motherfucking cosmic bitch on the street. Trust me, skin of a rink. I love not knowing what the fuck's going on sometimes. If it's presented good enough, done well enough, this movie didn't do it well enough for me. I did like the second half where we get into the mystery aspect of what's happening with Hannah Geist and where's this virus thing going. It got me very intrigued. But then, like you said, you get to the third act and it's just so ho-hum, no real ending, no real climax. And I hate saying that, man. Like, I don't want to shit on a movie that has so many great ideas because this movie has so many great ideas. Same with Infinity Pool. Same with Possessor, too. I think the Cronenbergs have a lot of great ideas, but sometimes they just execute them in this very pretentious way that doesn't translate well for a viewer necessarily. And maybe I'm just speaking, you know what, I'm just speaking for me. I don't know how people feel about this. 65% Rotten Tomatoes, so critics enjoyed it enough that it's kind of fresh. But what you said on the B, what is it?
5.7, which is kind of high on the B.
So, and that's user rating. So, you know, maybe I'm just losing it. But I'm going to say as an enjoyment, overall enjoyment factor, I did not enjoy this movie the way I would have liked to. I like a lot of the ideas. I do. But for me, this movie is going to get a 5.5 out of 10. I wanted to give it a 6.5 out of 10 just for the pure originality of the story and the acting. The acting is very good.
It's got the acting. It's got the originality, no doubt.
But I'm going to give it a 5.5. It's just a little above average. It's not, I would not write home about this movie. I wouldn't say don't watch it, though. I would say watch it because I don't know how everyone else is going to feel about it. I would not recommend this movie.
Well, and especially at a 5.7 IMDb and 65 Rotten Tomatoes. So, I mean, obviously we are in the minority on this, but it's kind of rare, though, that both of us dog on a movie a little bit. Usually, you know, it's one or the other, especially if it's got good, you know, reviews.
I think based on what you're saying, though, I'm at a 5.5. You're at a 4.5. IMDb is at a 5.7, you said?
Yeah, but a 5.7 on IMDb might as well be an 8, though.
Yeah, but no, but I think. And 65% of critics, so that's still in the 6 range. We're in the 5, 4, 6 range.
Yeah.
I think we're in line with most people right here. I think this movie is, you're either gonna like it or you're gonna feel baffled and kind of like, what is this? The movie feels cold. It doesn't feel like it has. It feels like it has a lot of ideas, but nothing to say. And that's the way I felt about Crimes of the Future, the David Cronenberg, the new one. I feel like it's got good ideas, but nothing to really say. And I'm like, you just didn't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way about Infinity Pool, to bring it back to the director of this movie, his son, Brandon. I feel like Possessor is his strongest movie so far, if these are the three. And this is his weakest.
One thing, too, is even though Antiviral is what I would call, like, I would say most people have never even heard of this. Not in our group as far as, like, the horror
community. I didn't even know about this. Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of a horror
but I feel like it is a pretty niche, not so much popular, unheard of film. But, dude, it's a 5.7 with 15,285 reviews on IMDb.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Kind of a lot. So.
That's a lot.
All right. Well, we got a 5.5 for Tebow, a 4.5 for Boss Tuna. And that about wraps up episode 105.
Oh, shit. Yeah, 105, Joe Blow bitches.
But before we go, we owe it to our listeners to let them know what the big summer franchise review is. So, Tebow, this is your baby. What are we going to be covering this summer?
Strap yourselves in, bring the chains out of the darkness, and get in your best BDSM gear. Open the lament configuration, motherfuckers. this year we're going hard in the paint. We're going to do more movies we've ever done for the summer series, because guess what? It's the summer of the Cenobite. Yes. That's right. We're doing the goddamn Hellraiser franchise, motherfuckers. Yeah, bud.
Yeah, I pumped. I've only seen the first one and third one, I think. So I'm excited.
Oh my God. I didn't even know that.
Yep. The first, first and the fourth, I think. So I'm pretty pumped.
Everyone get ready, because I'm going to say, we're going to have fun with this franchise. Everyone who's a horror fan knows it's diminishing returns, but that does not mean that the Joe Blow episodes covering it are going to be diminishing returns. You want to tune in for when the franchise gets a little hairy, because we're going to have fun with these movies, everybody. We all know the first one's a classic. We all know the second one is beloved. The third one is growing in popularity, and the fourth one is getting some respect nowadays. Mm-hmm. After that, you know how it goes. But
But we have the Hulu one from 2018 or no, 2020. I don't know. It's only a couple of years old. So
yeah, David Bruckner did a goddamn remake.
Brought it. Reboot. He brought it.
Yeah. So we got that coming. So stay tuned. We got a lot of special guests coming up. Everyone's gonna be. We'll have some returning fan favorites that have been on previous summer series, and we'll have some new folks coming in because we got so many movies to cover. But if you've ever been wondering, should I watch the Hellraiser series as a whole? Yes, now is the time to do it. Watch it with us. Watch the movies in preparation for the podcast, and tune into the Joe Blow Horror Show, because it's the summer of the Cenobite, bitches. We're going to go fucking hard.
We're going to be starting early.
We have such sights to show you.
Yeah, we have up next is going to be our top 15 of 2023. That'll be out in a week. We'll probably do a couple other regular episodes, and we're going to pop right in because there's 10 plus of this Hellraiser. So that's going to take us through the summer. So, Tibu, do you have anything to leave all these ear holes before we go?
If you get to eat the ass of Kobe Bryant, do it, because that boy burned up real good.
Yeah, I'm not into well done, but you know, I'll give it.
I'm just saying, Ricky's gonna laugh at that shit.
Stay tuned, because speaking of Rammstein and that song "Mein Teil," where he talks about the cannibal who literally ate a man's penis, and the man ate it too.
Yeah, he ate it too.
Stay tuned for the song, because that's gonna be coming up here in a second. But with that, folks, I hope it was as good for you as it was for us. As always, boom,
boom.
Oh, that was incredible. Is it good for you?
I've had better.
Treffe ich einen Herrn.
die stumpfe Klinge gut und recht.